So today I want to talk a little bit, or maybe a lot, about a topic that is really close to my heart or important to me, and really kind of my integrity as a therapist and a value. Deep into my soul, and that is about drugs, synthetical drugs, and I'm not talking about medication that people are taking, but drugs, and natural drugs, because I know a lot of shamans and therapists and healers are using different kind of drugs in their therapy and in their ceremonies. And in some cultures, that's you kind of not just kind of you grow up in this, so they have kind of this sacredness in it. I think already from in some cultures there or societies there are children already from the age of five, I think 5 or 6, they start doing ayahuasca ceremonies with them, and for the whole neighborhood or the whole tribe is following them up and kind of working through what's coming up and heal with them. So it's a kind of a different culture, and they have these plants around them. They live with them, they breathe them, they eat some of them, because of course plants will have different effects if you smoke them, eat them, drink them, and yeah, so you can and different parts of the plants. Some parts of the plants can be psychedelic, and other can just be food, kind of. So I think it's important because there's so much offering out there, and I never use anything, and that's important for me to say, not to judge anybody, because again, I know it's a big part of a lot of people's cultures, especially in tropical cultures and Peru and every so they use it as a sacred treatment or to connect with spirit or as a ceremony. And I said before that I believe, and my teachers and a lot of shamans are saying that the food and the medicine you need so you can survive is around you. You don't have to go around the globe to get what you need, but you have to get to know what's really growing outside, if it's the bark of a tree or the root or the leaves, or but people usually don't have time or not the interest of that, so they kind of would rather pay 40,000 to go to another country and get some healing and a substance that they maybe can alter their consciousness in some kind of way. So I don't judge what other people do with their bodies or in their cultures. I think it's important that we do different things. But again, I think it's also important when people or you that are listening to what I write and say, and for me as well, when I always felt in between everything, since I never wanted to take any drugs. In some kind of way, and it's kind of either you do or you don't. And then if you want to work with plant spirit medicine, it's kind of for people, oh, then you have to do cannabis or ayahuasca or peyote or all these things. And I didn't want to do that because I find life so, I don't know, magical and filled with ecstasy, just life itself. Even if it's bad, it's kind of, it's authentic and it's mine, and I don't know, I just can't find any more thing more magical than the sunrise and the rainbow and just being born as a spirit into a body. I think that's so psychedelic in itself. So for me, and my through my journey, I find that you can find this ecstasy just in being you and working through your layers, and not be kind of addicted to someone else or something else, some substance that you need. So and I think also because I have, of course, I've been raised that way, but I also found when I got free from my from that and could go out there and find out my own path, I was very happy that my parents didn't introduce me to anything, and not even we didn't have coffee is also a kind of stimulant and a medicine, as you know. Many cultures use the caffeine as medication, and it stimulates also your brain and can alter your consciousness. So that's also something. And we didn't have that, and nobody in my family smoked, and we didn't have alcohol. I tried coffee when I was 3, 4, or 5 years old, I remember, at my grandmother's, when she had people coming over and they were going down to say goodbye, and I drank all the rest in the coffee cups, and that was my kind of career in coffee drinking. I could feel with it, for me that was not medicine, it was not anything that fueled my soul or my heart or anything. It just felt crap in my body. So I kind of tested that when I was so young, and I was kind of finished. And smoke I never tried. No kind of smoke, weed or anything, and not regular tobacco. I remember, some years ago, I decided if I could eat the smoke, then I could smoke it, because I think many things you take just inhale, you don't kind of think about it, especially when you sit with other people smoking and you just breathe it in, like pollution, and you kind of get used to it. So then I decided I should try to eat one. So if I could eat it, I could smoke it. Or if that was just crap, that, yeah. So very, very dangerous experiment. I will never... don't do that at home, please. It was useful for me, but I am the master of my own body, so I can do what I want with that. But tobacco and smoke it's kind of filled with heavy metals like cadmium, and you don't really want that into your brain or your bloodstream or any. So I started chewing it, and I just could feel how toxic it was, and I just, just talking about it, I just want to throw up. I can feel. So I could feel it was useful because I could really feel how my body was resisting the toxins and the whole idea of swallowing it down. So then I listened. So again, I think we have camouflaged our instincts because we... there's so much stress and high gear and again, a lot of toxic food and sodas and with a lot of sugars and from generation to generation, we kind of are being polluted through our parents kind of from birth. So we lose our instincts on what is good for us and not. So for me, this was not a good thing at all. It was really, really just bad. So that was my career with smoke. and other drugs I never ever used. They didn't appeal to me. I have been around people taking so much drugs and alcohol and everything, and it is fascinating to think about. I'm so pleased for that because I always feel that I have been respected. Nobody have offered me or forced me or anything, and I have. I'm so grateful for all the people that I have been around on parties and just hanging out with, and they just know where I'm stand at this. So to you, that I know there are some teenagers listening also. So just stand in your power, and if you feel this is not for you and you don't want to try it out, or you're not feel any attraction to it, but you feel kind of everybody else is doing it, know that there is a lot of people not doing it as well. And you don't have to be religious or anything to feel that you don't want to do this, because that was my thing. I thought, okay, so either you're religious, like I was raised, but not now, but then. And we didn't do anything of that, but the unreligious people did all of this. So it's kind of very black and white world. It's so insane to think back, but that was then. It's many years ago. But I think, remember, it's allowed. You are allowed to say no, and maybe I just have been lucky with all my people growing up, even though I've been to this environment and two parties where there have been a lot of these things. And alcohol, I tasted alcohol for some years, never liked it. I didn't, just felt crap the day after and always fell asleep or felt like I was just losing control. So for me, very easy, really. And that has really been a gift as a therapist, because I work with a lot of people with addictions and people on their way almost to become addicted to different kind of substances. And also a lot of friends. I think that's why I've seen too much crap. I've seen too many people taking their lives because of drugs, and too many people going into being criminals because of drugs. Too many people lose their money, starting to steal money from their parents and siblings, and can't take care of their children because of drugs. And also this just starting in the very small, just maybe because to manage work or all the stress around work, or to if you have low self-esteem and to feel more outgoing, or just you feel life is kind of, you lack some passion in some kind of way, life is boring and depressed, and you just want to lift your mood kind of, and just starting on some parties and then suddenly it's out of control and you're addicted, and it's after time destroying a lot in your brain, and so many people could, yeah. Now I just lived too long and seen it's very few good cases I've seen, so unless people start working with it before it's too late, and when you still have money, maybe to do that, to work with it and build up your brain. And now we know we also can regenerate our brain cells. Many years ago, they said that was impossible, but now there's a lot of science confirming that it's possible. And we can see that also when we work with people. So that their brain is coming back, the fog is lifting, and depression is lifting, and all these anxieties and everything. So, and I think maybe and when I talk about this also, it's not just the synthetical drugs people can buy, and of course a lot of these things are illegal, so that's one thing about it, and people can of course discuss if they should be or not, and that's another discussion, but so that's down thing also, and of course all these things about the body and addiction and everything. But I think also with and in a lot of countries also the natural drugs are forbidden, and I also when we think about consciousness shifting herbs drugs that are expand our consciousness, it's like also mushrooms, different kind of mushrooms, and peyote, which is a cactus, and cannabis, of course, that most people know now, and ayahuasca. And what I see, I feel I see four things, if I should try to sum up all these years with people doing a combination of these, or just few of these, or just one, but kind of without supervision. That's why I say when you go to a trained shaman, where this come from, where they grew up with these plants, that's kind of a whole other story that I don't want to jump into. So, but for a lot of people, it's just the excitement or to get out of their bodies and into another reality when this is getting too tough where they are, or too stressful, or too, yeah, depressing. So what I see after people have used it, maybe just for one time or over time, it's kind of one of the result is if people take too much, which often happens for a lot of people because they just want to try it out and they have no clue. And they shift consciousness and expand their consciousness and go out there and of course get in a lot of the world behind the veil and the illusions that we are raised in, and you get what can I say, you kind of in many ways see the world as it is, and you get insight in so much deep universal wisdom and deep ancient earth wisdom that comes up that maybe you haven't been told in school and you haven't read about. It's just a flow of information and epiphanies and everything, and it's kind of exciting. But for some people, taking too much or are in a bad state, and many people when they take drugs are in a bad state because they're stressed and they're very sensitive, and then it's just open too fast. And then after this experience or trip or whatever, it depends on what you take, people are getting scared as hell. It's kind of coming back, and it was so scary because when you work with what people have seen, it usually makes sense, not maybe for common people, but if you sit down with a person and you see their baggage and what comes up, it can be a lot of pictures from their childhood or things that they should see in the bigger picture. So if you kind of take it down to earth, it in many times give a lot of sense, because I think there's information in everything, but there can come too much, and that's why I don't like the drug kind, because it has this habit to open too much too fast for people that are in this ordinary world, going to school, going to work, going to train, have this routine life kind of, and then suddenly you just get out there in a rocket into the sky and everything is just pouring at you. So this scary as hell, and then coming back and anxiety and paranoia and restlessness and trouble to sleep and kind of this scared inner child is coming up to surface. And it's hard to put in words to other people, and it just shock you up. And if you take the signals wrong, or if you were with people that had a lot of heavy stuff, you can also take in their things. That's why when you expand your consciousness, you can take in other people. So if you have been with a group of people that was very angry or very depressed or very then you can also take in, and then you can feel this darkness and it was bad and evil, and then can, yeah. So that's one thing, scared as hell. And you never want to go there, or you can't kind of cope with the feeling, and it sits with you for years after. So that's the one. And now I talk about the bad sides of my experience with working with people. And then you have, again, when it's open too quick and too fast and too much is taken in. And not that these people are not being scared as hell, but they kind of, everything makes sense. And it's so much and it's so exciting. And you go out there and everything comes into places and it's pouring down with information that really puts everything into place. And then you come back afterwards and you have no clue how to integrate this in our earthy realm, because it's, you have been in another realm and seen what you've seen and it makes sense. And then you come back and people haven't been on the same trip as you. So they, you can share it. And if you share it, you kind of are psychotic or crazy or been laughed at or just bullied or something, or get a grip. So it's hard to take it down to earth and you suddenly have evolved in some kind of way and people around you don't understand where you're at, and you can see you can never go back because you have seen something new that made sense, and if more people were there you could kind of find peace with it, but since too many are in their routine world and happy with that, it's kind of hard to fit in afterwards. And I see that's maybe the group that gets most suicidal thoughts and very deep depression afterwards, because how can I live with all this wisdom and insights and when nobody understands me, I can never express how I feel. So that's also one. And then you have the third group that, again, there's so much visions and epiphanies that comes in and very quick and everything, but it's not, they don't get scared and it's not kind of, they don't know how to integrate when they come back, but they come back and they feel life on earth. I call it on earth. It's so boring and so lack of passion and no meaning. And almost, again, a kind of depression coming back and starting longing for a new ecstasy, a new peak, a new, so they want to go back quick because then they go into the routine and just, what the fuck is the point with this? And then you have to have a new rush really quick and maybe another quick after that. And then it's kind of rolling against addiction. So then you are on the roll because you can't live in this world and you don't want to go. You're not suicidal, but you don't want to be here, but you kind of, something in you want, but you want to be here, but again, more in the spirit realm. So you want to get out of your body, but still not want to leave for good. So here I feel I see most of the addiction. And remember, this is only mine. What I have been seeing, my experiences through working with this, with people, it might not be the same for you. And I respect that because I haven't seen everything in the world and worked with everybody. So respect for that. So and then you have the fourth group. It's that, again, a lot opens. And again, taking maybe too much or combined things that shouldn't be combined, and it opens and you kind of, especially with people taking a lot of mushrooms, for example, too many mushrooms, and they can't go back. It's not like they don't want to go back, and it's not like they're scared or anything. It's just open up and the consciousness is expanding so big. in so short amount of time, and it's kind of you just stay out there in the spirit realm, and you can't go back, and you are in a physical body, so that's kind of really bad, and you can't get them down because they're just, yeah. So here is more the psychotic symptoms, and also I see where you may be, since you're so etheric and you take in everything out there, you take in of voices and symbols and everything, and yeah, so here also you can start developing kind of more what people call schizophrenia, or taking in different personalities and make it your own, and yeah, so that's a hard one to not come back, and of course maybe many do after time in therapy, or somebody use medication, or somebody use healing or herbs and other things that can ground them, or organic food. There's a lot of ways to get people back, but I think that are the four, if it's allowed to group people, and for me just telling about the negative sides of using drugs, and that's why I stay away from it myself personally, and also in my therapies, and all my teachers have also are not supporting this either for their own and their, yeah, so that's important for me to say, because we all have our different way to work, and it's important that people, when they work with us, know where we stand in this, so it's not just this common thing that, okay, you work with plant spirit medicine or plant medicine. And remember, there's a big difference there, because plant medicine is only, then you ingest the plant in some kind of form. You can eat the plant, and no, we're not talking about drugs even, but you eat the drug, or you take a tincture of the drug, or you take capsules of the drugs. That is plant medicine. Psychoactive drug. But plant spirit medicine, you don't have to ingest. You can just call on the spirit of the plant. You can sit with the plant. You can pray to the plant. You can pick it outside and take it in and just sit with it in a vase. You can look at the picture of it. So that's working with the spirit of the plant. So that's two different things. So with plant spirit medicine, you don't have to ingest anything. But if it's plant medicine, then you have to take in some part of the plant to call it plant medicine. But the spirit is the spirit. So that's something else. So I just wanted to make these things clear. And then I want to say a little bit about one flower of mine that I really love to work with, not just with people struggling with drugs and drug abuse or addiction, or people wanting to get out of the addiction. And, you know, there's a lot of addiction going on, not just on drugs. So there's many categories. So that's a passion flower, which I really, really love. And that's a herb. It's a flower, but it's a herb. And I love that flower. It's beautiful in so many ways to look at. And it's kind of the most psychedelic flower I know, I think, to just look at. You can just look at in it, and you just are kind of going into the deepest mysteries of the world, I will say, or the universe, and into your soul, and just look at the picture. I have posted one picture here that I have taken when I work with one of them in Spain. This is from Spain. So just looking at it will really expand your consciousness, but in a healthy way. And with the consciousness shifting herbs instead of the drugs, that means they are legal, so you can buy them in health stores, and you can pick them outside, or grow them in your garden. you can do that, and they will, and you can drive with them, and there's no kind of drug involved. But I think when you say to people it's consciousness shifting, there's degrees of that. You have the mild ones, like the passion flower, and you have what I talked about before, the more heavy ones that are really altering very heavy and quick. Some kind of that you lose control suddenly, but here you have control. So you are kind of active, and you can be sitting and talking with people and just feeling that it's kind of, I think people are forgetting during a day, you're shifting your consciousness a lot. If you decide to meditate, just to sit down and breathe with breathing techniques, then you alter your consciousness or change your consciousness or shift your consciousness. If you go to training, then you will also experience a shift in consciousness. If you put on music, and you can, of course, shift upwards or downwards in consciousness, depending on what music. When you dance, when you go into nature, you know, you can go into nature for 20 minutes and come home and feel you have been away for 2 weeks. So that's also a way. During sex, you also shift consciousness. So there's so many ways you can shift consciousness that aren't by drugs. Reading books, looking at television, going to see a play. So that's also important for me to say. So you see that this is not kind of a dangerous thing. It's a normal thing, but it can be dangerous and scary if you go to the heavy consciousness shifting herbs, or drugs. So that's why I want to introduce passion flower for you, because that's a mild one. You also have other consciousness shifting herbs, like I said, with caffeine and cacao and mint is also some examples that are lifting our moods kind of and make us alert. Like the alpha waves, then you use that to feel awake and alert. But then you have all the others that are more like to meditate and to have visions and insight and dreaming, lucid dreaming. And here are passion flower, very beautiful to use. And you also have like lavender, if you know that one, it's more common maybe, and lemon balm. And kava kava and mugwort, chamomile. There's really a lot of consciousness shifting herbs that are, again, legal and healthy, and where you kind of keep control. So